To be given your own column is fine, if you've just trounced the combined fleet of the French and Spanish. But if your greatest claim to fame is entering the River Deben without hitting the bar, or making Cherbourg before the bread rolls in the Café de Paris have gone stale, such sudden elevation is a trifle unnerving. So forgive me, dear reader, if in my first foray into spray dodger-sized bylines, I would rather a tin whistle blow than a trumpet. What is it about sailing that makes us want to write about it anyway? You don't have the same urge after motoring, flying, or taking the train from A to B. People don't return from a circumnavigation of the M25 and invite you to read about it on their weblog. Perhaps it's because when we set sail, it truly is our own journey, on our own carrier, but most important of all, on our own track. It is us who, with skilled measurement of the elements, build the road, and as we move along it, see it disappear as we pass. Looking back, there is only a momentary froth, evidence that what is rapidly returning to a cobalt liquid was briefly compressed fluid beneath our keel. Where once we journeyed has become just the sea again, shifting, rootless, indifferent. A virgin territory of heaving matter, ready for the next voyager. The only tangible evidence that ever we passed are the pencil lines on our chart or the electronic track in the plotter, noting each hourly milestone, for at sea, to know where we are going, we need to know where we have been. This, almost subconsciously, makes us live in the fullest context of time. When we are sailing, we really are living minute by minute. Who has not come ashore after a two-week cruise and felt a sense of anticlimax? To be back where your destiny is no longer mastered by you. For time spent cruising is, as well as quality time, time as quality. You are up earlier when you sleep in a bunk, and the days are therefore longer. Time itself is slowed down to a natural pulse, determined more often than not by working the tide. Time spent afloat is richer, fuller, life-affirming. Time afloat makes us realise, with some terror, just how routine deadens the sense of time passing. Routine camouflages our span's length. And once we've arrived, the route we created to get us there must be rubbed out just as the sea erased our wake, for the wind and tide will be different for the next voyage, and the calculations for our new road must be made again. But, like life, it is almost unbearable to think that our passage amounts to no more than a transitory turbulence, and so we are driven to record it. Books about voyaging pour into the Yachting Monthly office, voyages made by families, offshore rallies joined by the score, solo adventures, all are lovingly recorded and reproduced by publisher or printed in vanity, or simply squirted online. You can even detect the hint of narrative in a pilot book or in a limp back of sailing recipes. I think, therefore, that the great satisfaction of passage making lies in the sense it gives us of being a pioneer. For the unsignposted sea is ever novel, and when you do something pioneering, it's natural enough to want to share the experience. Just think about it. When all the mountains have been climbed, when all the forests penetrated, all the deserts crossed, there will still be the restless, ever-reforming sea. It sits out there, a glittering invite awaiting our next rum line. So that's why we write about it, and why I write about it. And, like Nelson, I'll try my best to stay on top of this column.